We are kicking off today's podcast episode with a giveaway. Who doesn't love getting free stuff, especially when it's free, clean beauty products? Who doesn't want to win that? All you have to do is leave a 5-star rating and review of the show on iTunes or Spotify. Then you'll take a screenshot of your review and send me a DM with it or email me it. You will be entered into the giveaway and I will randomly select one winner. If you have already left a rating and review, you can still enter by sending me that screenshot. There's a limited amount of products, so make sure that you get onto this as soon as possible. Good luck! Welcome to Balance Your Life Podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of this show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life Podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon, and I hope your weekend was amazing. I hope your week is off to a fabulous start. And if it's not, if you're having any sort of anxiety, you know, those Monday scaries, any sort of stress or feelings of burnout, this podcast episode is for you. This week on the podcast, I am joined by Matt Adams. Matt is a work stress, burnout, and anxiety expert offering training, speaking, consulting, and coaching. Suffering stress and burnout in real estate at 24, then a severe panic attack at 27, Matt experienced up to 100 heart palpitations per day, along with lightning shock sensations in his heart. Embarking on a 10-month self-rehab, he overcame his symptoms 100% naturally, without doctors, medicine, counselors, or therapists. Matt is a contributing author to a number one best-selling book on Amazon, Activate Your Life, a book featuring 23 health and wellness coaches worldwide who share their top strategy, technique, or exercise to create change in the mind and body. He's also writing a book about his journey with stress and burnout and revealing the techniques and strategies he used to beat stress 100% naturally. On this episode, we talk about his journey dealing with burnout and stress, signs and symptoms of experiencing stress, burnout, and anxiety. We also discuss natural techniques, strategies, and exercises to manage your work stress, anxiety, and burnout, and so much more. With that, please welcome Matt Adams to the Balance Your Life podcast. Welcome to the show. I get a lot of DMs and emails asking me about certain products and brands that I use in my daily life because I rave about them so much online in my socials. And while I do encourage buying local when you can, sometimes you just can't. And that's where Amazon has come in so handy. I've created my Amazon storefront where I link all my favorite products and brands and my go-to book recommendations. You can find the products I use in my business, like my Yeti mic, the beauty products I swear by, like truly everyone needs a silk pillowcase for their skin and hair health, the body butter from Melita I just can't get enough of, the frother that I use daily for my coffee, and so much more. I am constantly adding more to the storefront, so make sure you are always checking back in to see the products and brands that I love and use. You can use the link in the show notes to follow along and shop all your beauty, wellness, business, fitness, and lifestyle needs. Welcome to the show, Matt. I am so excited to have you on.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Can you give our listeners a little bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining me from today?
Sure. We'll start with where in the world. So I live now I'm originally from Australia, but I now live in the south of France. I am a stress management and burnout expert, particularly work-related stress management and burnout expert. I offer training, speaking, and coaching to anyone who's suffering from, who, well, either wants to prevent, manage, or heal from burnout, sort of regardless of the severity, because I've kind of dealt with the severity or the most severe form of it myself, I guess. And I help them to do that 100% naturally. So no medicine, no anything, just natural techniques, lifestyle sort of editing is what I call it. And yeah, just a little sort of mental upgrades, physical upgrades, little changes that can really shift the mind and body out of stress and burnout into, yeah, just better feelings, really. And I'm also a contributing author to a number one Amazon bestseller called Activate Your Life. And I'm currently writing my own book about my own journey with stress and burnout as well.
Yeah, you have so many things going on. And I would love to back right up to the very start. You and I were talking through email before we booked this interview and this call, and you were telling me how your journey through stress. But I would love if, for the audience, if you can give like right up to the start, how did you get involved in this line of work? What led you to becoming an expert in the field of work stress and burnout and anxiety?
Okay, so I'll answer that last question first. Extreme suffering got me into this. So how did that all come about? I'll give you the short version. I can tell this story, and I have told it over like an hour and a half, but I know we've got around 40 minutes, so I'll try to keep it reasonably brief. So I finished university, and I did an IT degree. I went and worked in the industry immediately after university. And kind of hated it, just working behind a desk 9 to 5. Luckily, by the end of my first year, I was offered a redundancy along with a few other people. So I was kind of celebrating that. So when I was backing up a little bit, when I was in university, the very last year, I started getting into personal development books. And so that kind of ignited a bit of a fire inside me. And it's a little bit of a contributor to my stress, but I'll get into that. So out of, off the back of those books, I just became super motivated. And so instead of getting into leaving that job and getting into another IT job, I read in one particular book that if you want to own your own business one day, you need to learn how to sell. So I thought, okay, well, that's what I need to do. That's what I want. So that's what I need to do. So I went and got into real estate sales. So for the first month and a half, almost 2 months, I was completely hopeless, completely sucked. And after like a month or two, I finally clicked and I got made my first sale, and it kind of went up from there. After around 10 months, I was promoted to a senior salesperson, and then 2 months later, I was very fortunate to be promoted to the position of sales manager. And, you know, at the time, I think I was 23 or maybe just turned 24. And I was, you know, having been reading all the personal development books, I'm like, yeah, it's working. It's working. So I'm just super, super pumped and just loving life, really. So as I said, a sales manager of one office. I think it was either 4 or 6 months later, I was offered to be the sales manager of a second office. So the company only had two offices. So I was, and they actually offered me a part, sorry, a profit share in that second office as well. So you can imagine the internal celebrations I was doing at this news. So, you know, life was amazing. I was 24. I was managing two real estate offices, managing a team or two different sales teams. So anywhere between sort of maybe 12 to 14 salespeople. I was running sales meetings, training, mentoring, all that sort of thing, still listing and selling some property as well, a little bit less given that I was undertaking more management responsibilities. And I bought my first house, bought my first car, bought a brand new car, and I was absolutely on top of the world. Everything was amazing. So that was around, so 24. So that was around 2000, and I think it was around maybe April 2002. So I just turned 40, 45, actually. So then, so being on top of the world, very soon after that, like literally within a month, I started to show some signs of stress, or probably burnout, rather, is the better word for it. And I did not know, even I kind of didn't even not know what stress was at the time, let alone admitting it to myself or anyone else. You know, if you would have said to me at the time, or someone said to me, Matt, you know, you're stressed or you're under pressure. Oh, you know, for me back then, as a 24-year-old male, it was like stress equaled weakness, and I just didn't even believe in its existence. So, but the symptoms that started to pop up, I started to have a lot of face pimples, and so I was sort of reliving my teenage years, which was a bit weird. Libido dropped massively, and okay, it was like this is really, really weird. And I started to analyze, has my diet changed? Have I done anything different? Nothing was different. Am I eating a bunch of sugar? Because that's obviously, you know, trigger hormones and pimples and everything. And no real significant changes. And so I was like, okay, well, I keep going. And it took about another 3 months of pushing myself, pretty much living on adrenaline. And I literally woke up. It was a Tuesday morning. Now, I was usually pumped to go to work. Literally from my house to the office was maybe 7 minute drive or something like that. I had my brand new car. It pumped up the stereo, my favorite Linkin Park, if you remember that album. That was just, yeah, super pump up album. And yeah, it was all adrenaline fueled morning, and pretty much for the day as well. But anyway, on that particular morning, I woke up and I had this thought or slash feeling that just came into my mind. I don't feel like going to work today. And I was like, okay, that's really, really weird. Okay. But I thought, okay, I can just take the day off. That's no problem. So I called the office and took a sick day. The next day, the Wednesday, was my normal day off. So I would work 6 days a week, obviously weekends, given that I'm in real estate, and Wednesday would be my day off. So Wednesday came, my normal day off, great. And Thursday morning, I wake up, I don't feel like going to work today. And I was like, ooh, this is something's wrong. You know, something's not right here. And I thought, okay, well, I'm pretty good with that sort of thing. If my, you know, noticing my, apart from noticing stress, but I'm pretty good at, let's say, honoring my feelings, if you like, to a certain extent. With the stress feelings, I didn't even sort of know what they were, so I couldn't really acknowledge that. Okay, I was stressed. Obviously, with the benefit of hindsight, I could. But so anyway, I called the actual owner of the real estate agency, and I said, "Oh, can we meet?" So we met up early later that day, and I just said, "Look, I need some time off," and he was a little bit, let's just say, non-accepting, and he tried to do the, you know, big sort of macho routine. Oh, your team needs you. We're launching these new things coming up. Your team needs you. And I was thinking, well, yeah, they'll be fine. You know, the life will still go on. And anyway, it was a little bit of conflict there, but he ended up agreeing to it. And so, but then I think it was the next day he called me, and because the interaction was a little bit, let's say I wasn't there to negotiate. You know, when I'm sort of at my wits' end a little bit, I'll just sort of dig in, and nothing is negotiable. So he rang me the next day and said, "Oh, you know, I was thinking about everything yesterday. I don't think you've got the attitude we're looking for." And I just think, well, I was thinking the same about you. You know, in terms of trying not being understanding when I come to you and say I want and or need time off. Where's your attitude of, you know, understanding and everything? So, anyway, long story short, because we're doing the short version, I ended up resigning on the spot, and he was a little bit shocked by that. And anyway, so that was literally the end. I went into the office, I think maybe on the Friday or maybe the next Monday, and to basically just collect my things, and that was it. But I tell you what, once I resigned, that I felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. So that's what I call my stage one stress or burnout. And that was okay to a certain extent. However, for the next 3 years, the longest I kept a job for was 9 months. Because every time I would sort of get busy in that new job, those old feelings of stress and burnout and anxiety would come back up, and I would be like, because I didn't have the tools back then, my reaction was just to resign. I was just like, pull the plug and I'm out. So I did that. So as it turned out, that whole incident, stress and burnout, was a warning shot across the bow. The direct hit came 3 years later when I was 27. I interviewed for a high-paying job with one of Australia's largest real estate websites. And so I remember it clearly. I had the interview on a Monday, and they said, great, Matt, we're interviewing some other people. We'll get back to you later in the week. No problem. So Thursday morning comes around, and 11 o'clock, I'm just driving my car along this. I was living in Brisbane, Australia at the time. So I'm driving my car along the Brisbane River on one particular busy road. So there's three lanes in one direction, three lanes in the other direction. I'm driving south, and I'm in the middle lane. All of a sudden, I actually took a phone call, and literally within 2 seconds, out of the blue, my heart just started absolutely pounding like crazy, just completely out of nowhere. And I was just like, what? I couldn't pull over. I was right in the middle lane, and my heart just started absolutely pounding like crazy. And I was like, what? My immediate reaction was to just push myself up and backwards in my seat for some reason. I don't know why. And I was just trying to gasp for air. And so that went on for about, I don't know exactly, maybe 8 seconds, maybe six, maybe 10, something like that. All the while, I've still got literally the steering wheel in one hand and my phone in the other hand. And this was all going on. And when it finished, I ended up, I had a layer of perspiration over any exposed skin, and the tip of my tongue was numb. And my immediate thought was, what the at? The direction I was heading, I was going towards my sort of, let's say, doctor, even though I don't really have a doctor, but I, you know, if I need a blood test, I go to the doctor. That's pretty much it. So I ended up just going straight to the clinic. It was five minutes away. They hooked me up to a ECG machine, and the nurse said, you're fine. No sign of anything. All was normal. And at that very moment, in my mind, I was like, okay, this is the stress. This is the burnout. So the next 4 months were the worst, toughest, most difficult 4 months of my entire life. I never tell this story without crying, so I'll see how I go. For the next 4 months, I was experiencing having up to 100 heart palpitations a day. I was having lightning shock sensations in my heart, like most of the day. And the other part of this, by the way, I just forgot. So that job, by the way, so I had the panic attack at 11 o'clock in the morning. At 2 p.m., they called me and offered me the job, by the way. So, of course, I took the job, and I'm thinking, how the hell am I going to do this? And I was actually due to fly down to Melbourne for a one-week induction training course. And again, because we're doing the short version, I ended up embarrassingly calling the manager that hired me and said, I'm sorry, but I can't take the job. So I had flights booked for me at Monday morning, 6:30, flying out of Brisbane to go to Melbourne, flights and accommodation booked, because I was just thinking, freaking out for that 3 days in the lead up to that. How the hell am I going to do this? You know, I felt like I could have died a few days ago, and now I'm going to be stuck in a room, not just stuck at work, because you can get up and leave, you know, and go, oh, I'm going to go and get a drink or something outside. But this is stuck in a training, and you're going to have allocated lunch breaks. So that weekend I was freaking out, to say the least. So I ended up calling the manager and saying, sorry, I made up an excuse, really embarrassed. And that was the end of it. Now, serendipity kicked in within 48 hours. About a year prior, I put my resume in with a recruitment company, and completely out of the blue, they called me 2 days later on the Tuesday and said, Matt, we've got this job. It's a manual labor job. You're probably not going to be interested, but I just thought I'd try you because we're kind of desperate. It's a manual labor job, and you'd be making ladders. You'd be working at a ladder factory, and you'd be making ladders. There's no interview. You literally just turn up tomorrow afternoon at the factory, 2 p.m. till 10 p.m. is the shift. And that's it, yes or no. And in my mind, I'm like, this is perfect because I can be there and I can work physically but have no stress on my mind. And so I said yes, and it was absolutely incredible. So the next night on the Wednesday, here I am working out of a factory, learning how to make ladders. And to give you an example, let's call it a bit of a fall from grace, the package, the salary package with the real estate company, I won't mention the figure, but the where I went from and where I ended up, there was it's about 35% of what I was earning would have been earning in terms of the package with the real estate company. So yeah, fall from grace on several levels, but I didn't really see it as a failure because I was like, okay, I need to fix this problem. So it wasn't easy, as I said. So the next 4 months, it was like 4 months of hell, 100 heart palpitations, up to 100 heart palpitations a day. At least once a week, I would wake up with the thought or feeling of, if I go to work today, I will die. That was where I was at mentally at the time, and physically, because I literally felt weak physically as well. I felt like I could literally have a heart attack if I went to work. And this is working at a factory making ladders. So that gives you an example, an idea of where I was at. So the next 4 months, as I said, I struggled along. I started just delving deeper. I was already into personal development, but I started delving more into health and wellness. I started eating organic. I started just changing everything I was doing. I started jogging for the first time in my life. I'd always been, I'd say, relatively healthy, you know, but I wouldn't say I had a regime. It was more, let's say, sports-based, you know, through my teenage years and so on. And so, but through that period, I went down to a local soccer field and just started. I did the first day, I just did one lap and stopped, went home. Next day, I came back. Okay, two laps, and then three laps, and then four laps. And then soon I started running along the river. It was 4 kilometers, which in miles, don't quote me on the miles, but anyway, 4 kilometers, then 6 kilometers, and I got up to 8 kilometers. So I'm running 4 to 5 days a week, 6, maybe 8 kilometers. And I was starting to rebuild myself, but none of that really made the heart palpitations go away or the lightning shock sensations in my heart. So I was still suffering. I was almost fired from the ladder factory, would you believe? The recruitment company called me and said, "I'm out there. They're really happy with your work." And I'm thinking, how could you not be? Like, wait, I'm making ladders over here. What, you know, how can you mess that up? But anyway, so she said they're really happy with your work, but they're just a little bit worried, you know, that you're only, you know, turning up 4 days a week. You know, what's going on? And I said, okay, well, leave it with me. I'll go and have a chat to the manager when I go in tomorrow. So I went in early, 15 minutes early, just had a chat to the manager there. And I just explained that, you know, my real estate stress, and she was very understanding. And she said, no problem. You just do what you can and it's fine. So that was really, really nice. So at around the 4 month mark, so I remember this was around December, I had a huge breakthrough. I happened to be in a secondhand bookstore and I was looking through some books, and I bought maybe half a dozen books. I took them home and I started reading one of the books. And in this particular book, there was a technique that I thought, oh, I can try that and see how it works. So to give you this is like a weight, you know, with a weight loss program, you see the before and the after photos. So this was my before and after. So 4 months of, let's say, that hell period, 100 heart palpitation, up to 100 heart palpitation, lightning shock sensations, you know, almost got fired from the job, could only work 4 days a week. After I implemented this technique, over the next 7 months, working in the ladder factory and other factories and so on, I took only one day off work. I completely eliminated the lightning shock sensations in my heart and got the heart palpitations to pretty, I'll say, almost zero. So that technique, I can say, literally changed my life, but I could almost say literally saved my life. And that from there, my Once I started to work, I started then discovering other techniques and tried other little different techniques. I either found them or just created them. I sort of thought, okay, what if this worked and what if that worked? And some things worked, some things didn't. And then towards, so that was over the next 7 months where I was, I basically just got so bored working at that factory. I went and did some, worked at some other factories. And, but over that time I was starting to gain or regain, let's say, my physical and mental strength to the point where I thought, okay, I'm now ready to get back into my normal professional field of expertise. So I applied for a job, got this particular job. And I do remember even going into the interview, I was like, just nervous, incredibly. I was like, how am I going to do this job? The last job of these like this, I attempted, I had this big panic attack. How am I going to do this? And luckily, when I went for the interview, the manager just started, he spoke for the first 20 minutes. So it sort of allowed me to calm down and I ended up getting the job and the rest is history, as they say. So I guess that's the short version. And so off the back of that, there was definitely peaks and troughs after that. And me being me, I've kind of just, I call it the up ramp of life. I'm always looking for ways to, how I can grow and improve. And so it just so happened that through a hell of a lot of pain and suffering, I was forced in this direction to grow and improve. So I certainly, once I, you know, got to a level back to my sort of preferred profession, I certainly didn't stop. I kept it going. And so nowadays I have probably around 100 different techniques, strategies, ideas, exercises, you name it, all natural for preventing, managing, treating or healing stress, burnout, even anxiety, and probably a number of other mental and physical conditions. Obviously, I'm not going to go and make any claims about those other conditions because I haven't experienced those. But I do believe that a lot of these techniques and strategies that I have can literally, I'll just use the word help. I don't want to make any big claims, but just say help. And the healing is going to come from the person who implements them. It's not obviously going to come from me telling you about them or anything. So that is the short version.
What was that first technique that you had mentioned that really catapulted you towards this path of healing that you read in the book?
Good question. So the technique is called the 22 by 11 technique. So literally 22 times 11. So the book, the technique, how it works is this. You take a negative belief, feeling or idea or whatever you want to call it. And the first part is you write a very short, the shorter the better, a short statement that is in complete opposite to what you're currently believing, experiencing, feeling, whatever. So I'll give you my example. So mine was obviously the feeling was I'm feeling stressed, work is stressful, I'm burnt out, all this, that was my negative beliefs and experiences and feelings. So the opposite of that, and now I experimented with lots of different statements. One of the best ones I came up with that seemed to work the best was this: work is fun and easy. Now that couldn't have been in any more direct opposite than what I was experiencing and what I had experienced over the previous 4 or 5, 6 months or so. So that's part one. So then you take that technique and you get a piece of paper and you write number one. How this works, or the power is this: you think about it like installing a piece of software on your computer. So, you know, when you do that, sometimes some programs say, in order for us to install the new version, we first have to uninstall the old version. So this is like that for your brain, for your beliefs, for your emotions, for your life experiences. You're taking the old, you're uninstalling that, while over the top, you're installing the new belief, sensation, feeling, experience that you want to experience from then that moment on. So work is fun and easy. So let me give you an example. So number one, you write down number one, work is fun and easy. Now, as soon, it helps if you then write it down, you then say it out loud to yourself. And then immediately after you say it out loud, underneath, so your mind will come up with something, some junk, some rubbish that's currently in there that's supporting, remember, the old beliefs. So you write, work is fun and easy, and then I'll say it, work is fun and easy out loud. And then the first response might be, that's a lie. So you write down, that's a lie. And it's really important that whatever comes up out of there, you don't get caught up on it, because some of the responses that came up when I was writing this down, and I still use this technique to this day because it's so powerful. Some of those responses will literally scare you. I've had responses come up saying literally, you're going to die. So I have to write underneath, you're going to die. So you can't pay too much attention to that. So you just go straight to the next one. Number two, work is fun and easy. You say it out loud. Work is fun and easy. That's BS. Okay, that's BS. And so on and so forth. So you do that 22 times. Statement, response, statement, response, 22 times. And you do that so for 11 days straight. So you do 22 statements on one day, you come back the next day, you do the next 22 and so on and so forth for 11 days straight. Why the 22? Why the 11? I have no idea. I just followed the system and it worked. And the other little rule is, if you miss a day, you have to start the 11-day whole thing all over again. So you can do it in the morning. So typically with anything where you're wanting to working with the mind, or any sort of form of healing, really, is to either do it first thing in the morning because you're awake and your mind is a little bit more, let's receptive. You haven't got 1,000 thoughts going through your mind. And at the end, so I would either do, well, when I first got into it, I would do it morning and night because I need to fix this ASAP. So that's what I did. So that was the technique. And over that following 7 months, I tried different statements, and I can't remember exactly when I specifically hit on that particular work is fun and easy, but when I did, everything was even better. So yeah, super powerful. And in terms of human change, if you could go and pull up anyone off the street and say, is there some area in your life that you would like to change in some way to the better? No person alive would say no to that question. And even after 20 years, the 22 by 11 technique, in my opinion, is one of the most simplest and most powerful techniques for human change.
What are some of these other techniques that you do that help you, or that you coach your clients on, or when you're doing speaking engagements, and things that are really easy and tangible for somebody to implement into their life? Maybe they don't have a lot of time because they're like, man, I work like 12 hours a day, but I know I'm destined for something else, or I hate my job and I want to start looking somewhere else. But like, maybe I have 5 minutes on a lunch break in my car to do something. Like, what would be something that would be really easy to do and maybe short for somebody, but just to kind of get their foot in the door of starting to rewire that mindset of theirs?
Sure. So let me first address the I don't have time mentality, because no one has time. So leading with that, leading your life, let's say with that, I'm going to call it an excuse. And I do call it an excuse because, and I'm going to be a little bit extreme here. So when I find going to the extreme in a good way or a bad way can help you get to the truth of a situation. So let me give you an example. It's a little bit morbid, but hang on with me a little bit. So let's say someone has no time. Now, and they go, no time, I have no time, I'm too busy, I don't have time for anything. Really? So if your family member, a very close family member, or your best friend, or one of your best friends, get some sort of, let's say, disease or condition, or ends up in hospital or whatever, are you going to say, no, I don't have time to see you at the hospital? I don't. Now, this is me going to the extreme just to, give you the example. So my point being is that we all have time if something is important enough. And that is the reality. So the real question is, that question is, how important is my health, But I would go a lot further than that. I would say, how important is my life? How important, if you've got kids, how important is it for me to be healthy and alive for my children? How important is it for me to be healthy and, let's say, joyous even to be around? Because we all know the stereotypical stress person is going to be angry, short-tempered, and not fun to be around. So this is really about making the big picture the priority instead of the micro moments, the I don't have the time as the priority. So I just wanted to address that. So now time restriction is a reality though. So let's now address that. There's several different techniques. So I generally break up my techniques into four categories. Number one is prevention. Obviously, that's the best one, but let's just say very few people are going to do the prevention techniques only because why? Well, because we don't need them. You know, if your fridge is full, if you've got a full refrigerator, you don't need to go shopping. So it's a little bit like that. So you're going to do what is the highest priority, and in that moment, you don't need it. So anyway, let's say, so back to the category. So so prevention, coping, managing, and healing. So I'm going to talk to you now mostly about the coping techniques, because those ones I put in that category specifically because generally they're all under 2 minutes. So one of the best ways, now this is a lot of these have an overlap. Obviously, as much as they are a coping mechanism, they're also a prevention mechanism, or a prevention technique to prevent bigger problems down the track. So I'll give the simplest one I can think of, and I'll go through a few, but is the first one is literally 60 seconds jumping on the spot. So where this is exercise, obviously, it's just an exercise. You're literally getting up, you're getting blood circulating around your body, you're disconnecting from your body's fight or flight response, and that general, let's say, busyness and anxiety feeling. If you're super stressed in the morning or day, wherever you are, and you want to unplug from that feeling, we all know it sucks. So if you want to unplug from that, but you don't have much time, and if you're working from home, you can literally do this on the hour. If you want to set it to a clock or every half an hour, if you're at an office, okay, you might need to be a little bit more discreet, or if you're at the office within your own office, so you can do it, or you can do it at your desk and people will think you're crazy or silly, and that's fine too. That's better for them to think that than for you to be stressed. So jumping on the spot, I do it on a daily basis when I'm just busy, and even this little technique is just almost, let's say, a cure for a sedentary behavior or our sedentary lifestyles, because we're all sitting behind desks at some most of us, let's say. So there's nothing better than just to get up every 30 minutes, every 60 minutes. And let's face it, the time excuse is out the window. Everyone can get up for 60 seconds. And now, if you can't, let's say you've incapacitated for some reason, there's nothing to stop you from sitting in your seat and doing some exercise. It could be literally just putting your arms up. It could be just clapping your hands, hitting your arms. Any sort of movement is going to get blood flowing, is going to get lymph flowing around the body, and toxins releasing from your body. And if you think about stress and burnout, what is that really? What in terms of feelings? It's a buildup of mental, emotional, and physical toxins. So when you're doing this exercise and pumping the body, which is getting the lymph moving and getting the toxins moving out of the body, you are combating the very thing that causes burnout, anxiety, and then, I mean, we can blow this out further, and there's a lot of diseases down the road if you don't get a handle on it. And you know, we know that's a reality, so it's the sooner you can get onto it, the better. One other, I'll give you one. So that's, let's say, a couple of general ones, but one very specific one is very simple, and you can do this really, really discreetly. You can be in a boardroom meeting and still do this. So that this technique is literally just a hand massage. So you literally take one hand and you start massaging the inside, obviously the palm side of your hand. Why? Because your hand, each one of your hands, there's 10,000 nerve endings in your hand. So when you're massaging there, And we all know what it feels like to be massaged all over. So that is doing your hand is like a micro version of that. So going up through your massaging, those responses are going up through your arm, through your entire nervous system. The message your body's getting is calm down. Everything's okay. So now we can talk about acupressure and all these other healing modalities, but let's just call it a hand massage. And that's a very simple way. If you're stuck in traffic in the morning on your drive to work, if you're on a train, you're sitting, you can just give yourself a very discreet hand massage. And that is a great way to just calm yourself down as well. So that's a couple that come to mind. I did write a few things down. That's probably it. So that's the let's say the short-term ones. If I always advise everyone to make, again, we're talking about the priorities, make time for the prevention, because you've heard my story now and I'm telling you, you don't want it. So by the way, out of all that, my story that I shared, I never took one pharmaceutical drug, never went to one doctor, apart from obviously that I told you that ECG test. I never visited one doctor, went to one therapist, counselor, treatment of any kind to, and I'm going to use the word, suppress the negative feelings, symptoms, and sensations I was experiencing. So, and I'm not saying I'm some big hero or anything. I was just saying that was the choice that I made. And so my message here is, if you can make time to implement some of the techniques, and we're going to talk about a few more, to prevent this problem, you're going to be so far ahead of the game, you don't even know it. And because we all know, generally speaking, we take our health for granted. And I've got a bit of a theory on that, I'm happy to share that. But as human beings, we do tend to take our health for granted. So it takes a little bit, you've just got a little bit of a mental upgrade. And it's just a decision that, okay, I'm going to be one of the ones that makes the choice and makes this a priority. I'm going to prevent stress, prevent burnout, prevent anxiety, and prevent diseases down the road by making time today. And yeah, you like I did with the soccer field, the jogging, you start with one lap. That took me, I don't know, 3-4 minutes. And then the next one, 8 minutes the next day. So I started small, and so can you. Everyone can do it. And just start with where you're at and build on that. I think of this whole thing, the way I think about life in general, as a metaphor, and it, literally every thought and action you take, every thought and action you have on a daily basis is either putting you on an ascending staircase or a descending staircase. So if you have a negative thought, that's a great example of, okay, you've taken one step down the descending staircase in that very moment. If you have 10 negative thoughts, you're taking 10 steps down that descending staircase. And obviously things aren't going to get any better until you start turning that around to a positive thought. Then you change, you're coming up the ascending. So everything is a choice, and I do accept that it is hard sometimes to get started, but it is important to get started.
No, thank you so much for speaking on that. And there's a few things that were coming up in my head for me, and I get the whole like excuse thing, like everybody is busy, everybody has things always on the go, and it's always like I always say, are you on social media at all? Because instead of scrolling Instagram or Facebook for 5 minutes, just take 5 minutes and extend your exhale by an extra breath or two. Like, it doesn't have to be these huge, big things. They can be, but if someone's just starting out, I'm like, hey, just do something that's super simple. Go to the bathroom, lock yourself in there for 5 minutes, do some breath work, tell yourself affirmations. Like the first thing that you were saying, that 22 times 11 technique is I don't write things out anymore. I did do that for a little bit, but it's even like this idea of like telling yourself something over and over and over and over again. And you create that kind of like that pebble, that groove in your brain. And at one point it's going to get down far enough that it becomes unconscious of you to think that way. But yeah, like you just 5 minutes in your car, 5 minutes in the bathroom, instead of scrolling on social media, like we do have time. It's just like you said, how important is it to you to change for the better?
Yeah,
absolutely. I want to I want to hop back to one of the things that you were saying was you started jogging and you started eating organic and healthy. And I feel like that's something that people don't necessarily associate when they think of stress management, prevention, anxiety. It's like, you know, the self-development makes sense, but people don't really make that connection between physical exercise being good for you of any kind. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, and eating better. Because my husband and I were just talking about this the other day. It's like the times in my life where I was the most anxious and I was on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication, I was the unhealthiest in every level. I wasn't physically exercising. I ate like garbage. And I feel like we all know those people that like eat sugar all the time, or they drink like 2 liters of pop and they're like, man, I have like so much anxiety and like panic attacks. It's like, you're literally drinking like sugar all the time. Like, of course your body doesn't know how to process it. It's not good for you. Can you talk a little bit about that from your perspective, and that if you're coaching people on that too, like why does that matter as far as stress management and prevention of anxiety?
Yeah. So let's just say anything you do, anything you're ingesting on a daily basis, and anything, any actions you take on a daily basis need to be, let's all say, reanalyzed. The reason is everything you're ingesting is literally creating not only your body at a physical level, but it's creating, more importantly, well, just as importantly, let's say, the feelings that you're feeling on a daily basis. So if you're feeling anxious, stressed, burnt out, or even just feeling bad, if you're looking to point a finger at something, you need to go back to, what am I doing on a daily basis repeatedly that could be causing this? Now, if you imagine a pyramid, and if I was to put the number one base foundation of that pyramid, what is the cause? It's the food you're ingesting and the drinks that you are drinking. Why? Because it's chemically altering you at every level. Literally, it's chemically altering you either for the better or the worse. And so again, let's choose the opposites again, to get to the truth. Nature provided us with things coming off trees, off the ground, etc. And humanity, now depending whether you're a evolutionist or creationist, either thousands of years or millions of years, we got to here. But if you look at it now, let's go to the other extreme now, we're eating these manufactured foods and beverages, and look at and we're going to use the word epidemic here because it is the health epidemic that we have going on. And we can say the obesity epidemic and the stress epidemic, everything related to these factory foods is creating a phrase that ends in the word epidemic. So that's not a good thing. So my short summary there is that, yeah, everything you're ingesting, and it could be literally coming out of the air as well. And I'm happy to talk about toxins in the environment as well. And imagine to give you a good example, imagine, you know, you start your car in your garage and you stay there a little bit too long. You smell those fumes. That is happening on a microscopic level when you're walking down the street. So you're getting all these exhaust fumes coming in. So literally everything you're ingesting. Now, so I talked about the physical. So through your mouth, you've got obviously food and water, and obviously you're breathing through through your mouth and your nose. So that's coming in and altering, making chemical alterations in your body. So that's the physical. So then let's talk about the mental and emotional. So think about how are you ingesting things on a mental and emotional level every day? Where is it coming from? Your eyes and your ears. So we all, just to a different extent, are also ingesting mental and emotional toxins on a daily basis. So you mentioned social media before, Megan. So that's a good example. Now, I'm not sort of bad mouthing social media. Everything in the world has positives and negatives. It's just a matter of opinion and context and perspective and timing and everything. So, however, we're talking about you as an individual. So if you're at all concerned with improving your life, or you'd like to point the finger to why you're feeling what you're feeling on a daily basis, literally, why you're feeling that way, it's because of something you're physically ingesting. And we talked about a couple of things then, but also what you're mentally and emotionally ingesting. And one example could be just you catch up with a friend who you know is that negative friend, and you spend that hour and you walk away drained. You're like, oh my goodness, how, like, I can't take it anymore. But maybe they're a family friend and you can't get out of it and all that. Well, this is about you protecting you and you feeling good. So, okay, well, just to preserve the relationship or relationships, maybe you put them back to once a year catch up instead of once a month or once a quarter or something like that. So that's an example. Then we talk about, I give the example in my training and speaking and everything of movies. And again, let's go to the extreme. Imagine there's two types of movies. Which one is going to be better for your mental nutrition? Let's go to, and I don't even know, pick a movie, but strangely, the movie Forrest Gump just popped up. So it's just a feel-good, harmless family movie, agree? So that's on the, you walk away from that movie, oh, you feel good, you feel lighter, you feel whatever. It's all good feelings off coming off the back of that. Then to going to the other extreme, imagine if you watched a horror movie, you spend an hour and a half watching a horror movie. What are the feelings coming off the back of that? It's nothing good. Maybe it is for you, but here's the thing. That mental nutrition, in that case, I'm going to say mental toxins are going into your brain. And in contrast to food, everything you're taking in with your eyes is literally being recorded in your subconscious mind. This is why hypnosis as a therapy works. You go to the hypnotist and say, I'm feeling this, or I've got this trauma from childhood or whatever. Now they, through their expertise and techniques, can take you back to a moment in childhood where you can bring up that emotion, you can resolve it, you can rationalize it, and then you can heal from that. So my point with even bringing up that is, if a hypnotist can do that, the only reason a hypnotist can do that is because those memories were there in the first place. So where are all those memories stored? Well, they're stored in your subconscious mind. So this is why it's so important to, I'm going to use the word guard your mind, guard your mouth, guard all your senses, because everything you're ingesting at every level, even what's coming in, music coming into your ears, classical music versus not so great music. And, you know, that's going to be different for everyone. But there was a fantastic book I recommend to everyone. It's called The True Power of Water by Masaru Emoto. And in that book, so this is a Japanese scientist, and he did a number of experiments with water. So what he would do is he would get a water, I'll say glasses of water, but let's just say probably plastic because he ended up freezing it, so it wouldn't have been glass. But anyway, jars of water, and let's say four different ones, and he would write a message and put it face in to the water. He would then freeze the water and pull it out once it's frozen, and then under a high-powered microscope, he would analyze the water crystals, and depending on which water had been exposed to, the water crystal took one of any number of different forms and shapes. And to give you the short version, one was literally the most beautiful image you can possibly imagine, to literally a blob of goo. It was just an ugly thing. And to give you the two most powerful words that he discovered through these experiments, and this is all scientifically proven, it's all white papers, it's all he's traveled the world teaching this stuff to other scientists, it's all been vetted. The two words that were the most, that create, that produce the most beautiful crystal, actually, Megan, would you like to guess?
I know this experiment, but I can't remember. It was I want to, was it beautiful? It was like a really positive word. I do know this experiment and that okay. the scientist that you're referring to. Yeah.
Okay. So the two words that produce the most beautiful crystal, love and gratitude. So if we're talking, you mentioned before about repeating things, you know, to make yourself feel better. So they're affirmations. I'm sure your listeners know that what they are. So I have been using love and gratitude as an affirmation for the last 27. So what's that? 17 years or something like that. Where I discovered that book shortly thereafter sooner after I discovered the 22 by 11 technique book. I found Mazaru's book, and I was literally repeating. That was part of my rehabilitation, that 10-month, what I call my self-rehabilitation. It was literally going to sleep, repeating love and gratitude, love and gratitude, love and gratitude. And when you do it, if you do that for more than 5, 7, 8, 10 minutes, depending, you can literally feel the response, your body responding in a good way to those words. And then in contrast, you know, negative words, if you want to think about the words like hate, we can just analyze this logically. We don't even need science. Imagine if you got up in the morning one day and you just repeated the word love all day to yourself. Love, 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 love. Let's say you repeat it 10,000 times throughout the course of a day. How are you going to feel towards the end of the day? Good, better, or worse?
Good.
Exactly. So therefore, the opposite must also be true. If you are thinking of the word hate or of hateful thoughts, so if you wake up and think hate, hate, hate all day, every day, you get to the end of the day, what are you going to be feeling? Hate, anger, you know, all these nasty feelings. And that is within you, and it was created by you, purely by that mental nutrition that you've been feeding yourself all day long. So this is the foundation of not only stress and burnout. I mean, stress and burnout doesn't even rate on the scale of the importance of this on the scale of your life. And now we can talk about your life, but then we can go out to the macro level of humanity. Imagine if all of humanity did, you know, we've got throughout the year, we've got, okay, stress awareness day and month, and we've got all this, you know, all these different days allocated to different things. Imagine if we had days and weeks where all of humanity had this focus to repeat and focus their energy and time and thoughts on all these positive words that literally chemically alter your brain and body. And, you know, that going out to the world and the people around you, people are going to feel that, and they do feel that. It's a ripple. It's incredible. But getting back to us as individuals, taking control of stress and burnout and anxiety and yourself in general means taking care of what you're ingesting on a daily basis, mental, physical, emotional. There is no way around it. That's not negotiable. And there's enough science there if you want to go look it up. But I just use logic, you know, a lot of the time to analyze, is this going to be good for me? Is it going to be good for me to repeat the word love or ingratitude as much as I can? It's going to be, of course, that's logically going to be just like it is if I eat some broccoli versus some packet of potato chips. I don't need any science to tell me that's just, we can all agree that that's just logical. So the next step is what you alluded to before, is just that prioritization. And yeah, you start small. If you want to take a trip around the world, that needs planning, you know, and you start small and you just do a little bit every day. And then a month after a month, you've got all the booking and the plans and you know where you're going and you've got a tours organized. Everything you do in your life starts with small. You have children, they're not fully grown. They come out and they're very tiny, and it's one day at a time. And actually, that's a good metaphor for life as well, for those people that have children. It's peaks and troughs of the most amazing pleasure and a lot of pain and suffering too, through maybe seeing them suffer or experience amazing pleasure if they're whatever. You get a piece of that, and that's life. And it's, but anyway, it's all starts from within, and that's I think the message we've got across.
Yeah, I would love to know, is there any other techniques that you have found to be really instrumental? You named so many great ones, the 22 by 11 method, affirmations, and even the idea of letting things go, like maybe not scrolling social media all the time, maybe not meeting up with the person who drains your energy for coffee once a week, but you know, maybe once a year or however much you can. Is there anything else that you have found to be really instrumental in your own life or things that you coach your clients on that really moves the needle forward when it comes to stress management?
Absolutely. So I'm going to bring up again the food, that mental, the physical food, the mental nutrition that's coming in every day. Absolutely. Another big ones, you've mentioned it before, the breath work. I know on your about page, Megan, you overcame asthma. I overcame asthma myself. Literally, this is in a 2 week period, and I did it through breathing, would you believe? I was astounded. So through in my entire childhood, I had to take, before I did any physical exercise, I would have to take a Ventolin inhaler, and or I ended up in hospital with asthma attacks and this sort of thing. Literally just through breathing, I read this technique in a Anthony Robbins book. I thought, oh, I'll give that a try. And it was just a breathing technique. I can't remember what that specific one was, but the one I sort of use these days and I talk to my clients about and do and during training and speaking is 10 10 20 10. So you breathe in for 10 seconds, hold for 20 seconds, breathe out slowly for 10 seconds. Now, when you first start, you probably won't be able to do that. So you might start with the maybe 2, 5, and 2. So breathe in for 2, hold for 5, breathe out for 2. So do and you start and then do 3 seconds and so on and so forth. So breathing is absolutely crucial. It changed my life. I literally cured asthma in 2 weeks just from doing that. So breathing definitely. Meditation was the other one that I did during that 10 month of self-rehab. And even I said before that I used to just say repeat love and gratitude. What I actually did was I was meditating with the words love and gratitude. So I just came up with this little sequence that I would use for maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes to sort of, let's say, I'll say induce meditation. And then my meditation, literally, because I've always, prior to that, when I tried it maybe a few times in my life, always struggled with the idea that you just sit and you just be, because my mind would start wondering. However, I found that I use what I call affirmation meditation. So I pick a word or a couple of words, like, as I said, love and gratitude. And I just repeat love and gratitude, love and gratitude, love. And I don't sit there in the yogic position and my thumb and second finger together. I prefer lying flat on my back or maybe feet up with knees sort of up in the air. And because I found when I'm sitting up, or the aches and pains, my attention goes to my neck and my back's sore because I'm sitting. But if I'm flat, I find that works. So meditation absolutely is crucial. And as I said, the most simplest form that I found is literally just repeating some positive words. And it could be love and gratitude. It could be you could just repeat the word health and happiness to yourself, joy and prosperity, whatever it is, anything. You can take any positive word or words and just repeat them for 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And that's going to help your sleep as well. So that's another one, meditation. I've got to say the breath work. I'm going to repeat exercise again. And there's four. I say there's four types of exercise. So you've got cardiovascular, so going for a quick jog, or as I said, just jogging on the spot for 60 seconds. That's cardiovascular exercise. Your heart starts pumping, and gets blood moving, removing toxins from the body. The next form is resistance training. So anything where you're using weight, and it could be just your body weight, but ideally a little bit more weight in the form of dumbbells, kettlebells, resistance bands, anything like that. There's also flexibility is a form of exercise. So obviously yoga is the one here. Also Pilates, with not as much stretching. It's more of a strengthening exercise, but there is some stretching in there. And balance is the one that rarely gets a mention as well. So if you do yoga, obviously you're going to get balance as a form of your exercise in there as well. And again, what happens when you don't have good balance? You think about elderly people that perhaps didn't you know, do exercise or maybe didn't do strength training during their life, you know, they are prone to falls and all this sorts of things. So no judgment, of course. I mean, this is of life. And this is what I'm saying. If you can prioritize these things when you're 32, 45, 70, or, you know, 58, and you can start when you're 72 or 82, just the only thing that can and should change is the intensity. But we can all start. Every day is a new day. You know, that sun's coming up. I always use that as a metaphor. The sun comes up. That's a new opportunity to try something new, to do something different.
I love all of these tips because they're so, in the grand scheme of things, like, they really are so logical and so common sense. And I don't know what it is about human beings, or maybe it's just the part of the world that I live in, but we want the most complicated answer, and like, it has to be all of these steps in order to, like, we just make it so like a huge thing to do. And it's like, it really can be so simple. Your breath, right? Like, if you have zero money, you have not a dollar to spend on anything, like, your breath is free, you know. Just start with the breath. And then little things too, like, I always say to people, if you're going to the grocery store, park that much further away from the store. So you have to walk into the grocery store, and it's just like, you're getting in 20, 25 extra steps. Like, it doesn't have to be so complicated. You can add all of those things on later in your journey and stuff. But people will be like, how long should I do a cold plunge for? Do I need to order a cold plunge in order to do this thing? And it's like, no, just start super, super small and work up and have fun with it too. Like, even this idea of exercise, people are like, well, what exactly should I be doing? And it's like, what do you enjoy to do? Like, start with the thing that brings you joy as far as movement, and then experiment and try with other things and start to add in, you know. I mean, I don't think I started strength training besides yoga. Like, I didn't start weight training 5 years down the line. Like, I had just started doing yoga. That was simply it. And I did that for years before I added anything else to it, right? Like, we don't have to do all the things all at once in order to be, you know, in the best shape of our life, mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Yeah. This is everything we're talking about is not an all or nothing approach.
Yeah.
You start small. It's again, like the metaphors of having a child, or, you know, everything we do, we start with little baby steps, and negative things become addictive, positive things become mm-hmm. addictive. So if you can start with one small thing, you will, because everything we're talking about, this is where, and this is my entire focus. It does one thing, and one thing as first and foremost, it creates good feelings. It makes you feel better. Tell me anyone in the world who doesn't want to feel better at some level, at some point, on some day. We all want that. It's a universal truth. And this, you know, just from, as I said, 60 seconds, whenever I'm taking on someone new, whether it's a coaching client or just doing my training coaching, I always say 60 seconds. Start with 60 seconds a day. Don't do any more than that. Now, if you get to, let's say you put it on a timer even, and you get to 60 seconds and you go over that, well, guess what's going to happen? You're only going to feel better. So you can go over it. But the reason I set the bar very low at the 60 second mark is for one reason. Some days, and in the beginning, it could be most days out of 7 days, it could be 6 days a week. You might have the thought, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do the breathing. I don't want to do the jumping on the spot. I can't be bothered. I'm too busy. I'm too lazy. I'm too unmotivated, whatever. You're going to have those thoughts and feelings. So just accept that. However, so the having the 60 seconds, though, on those lowest of low days, you will have a thought, well, it's only 60 seconds. And that could be what could get you over the line that day from no exercise to 60 seconds of exercise. However, if you've got this big regime, you've been to a personal trainer and you're going to change your world and your life, and in order to make that happen, you have to go to the gym or do your home workout and with video streamed off the web, whatever, 45 minutes. No, you're not going to do that on those days, at least. If you're super motivated, yeah, okay, you might do that. So this is, I always, what's the lowest common denominator? And build that in, build in those days and those feelings where you have it, where you think, I can't be bothered. You come home from maybe work at 8, 9, 10 o'clock. Are you telling me you can't prioritize 60 seconds? Or don't tell me. Are you telling yourself that you can't prioritize 60 seconds for the sake of your health, your well-being, and even literally going to sleep that night feeling better? Because circulation, I wouldn't go to sleep the next, you know, immediately after. You're going to be pumped for at least, you know, 10 or 20 minutes or maybe half an hour. But certainly set the bar low, and just like a high jump bar, raise the bar as you get into it, because the more you get into it, the more addictive it's going to become. I can almost guarantee it. It's like, and you gave your examples, Megan. My examples were, you start jogging as number one. Oh, that feels good at the end of that. Okay, what else can I do? Oh, I can eat organic food. Oh, okay, so I start doing that. You know, I didn't do what I'm doing today is like the, it's almost as if I'm living two different lives. It was like back then and it's today. And even today, I'm still coming up with, I'm on a new diet, literally as of, I'm probably about a week in at the moment, making changes. And I'll tell you what they are. I've just dropped out recently some grains, particularly because they're inflammation causing grains. So I've dropped those out completely out of my diet for at least a couple of weeks longer, maybe a few months. I've even dropped out nightshade vegetables. So this is how, you know, you can get really granular as you go down the road, but initially don't even start with any of that. I would start with, if we're looking at like the most simple plan on a daily basis, start making one change in your diet. Number one, that's the foundation, because as I said, the chemically altering effects that it has. So if you can, no, not if you can, just do it. So insert one new positive food or healthy food a day, and remove one negative food that's obviously not creating good feelings. Now, when I say good feelings, obviously, if you eat a super mega blast of Starbucks, you know, the size of your left arm or forearm, you're going to feel good maybe for 5 minutes while you're drinking that. And however, the after effects on your body is not going to be good. So I'm talking about sustainable feelings. So if you can just start today with take one negative food out of your diet, put one in, that's a great way. You could do that literally by opening your refrigerator and your trash can. Something stays, or something gets put in and something gets taken out. The next one would be, okay, so if we look at the physical exercise, I would, again, just 60 seconds jumping on the spot, adding that to your daily movement. That's it. 60 seconds, start there and then build on from that. And then I would also consider the mental nutrition. I would consider removing something out of your life where your brain is being fed something that's not so great. And it could be, you know, we're all human. We get on social media. Sometimes, you know, if you're watching cat videos for 10 minutes, yeah, you can feel funny and light. And however, if you're getting on, and I know myself, if I get on and look at feeds and I won't even say the words I repeat to myself sometimes, like, this is just, it's not good feelings that are coming out of it. So we all have that. And so limiting, you know, you might go from 30 minutes on Facebook down to 25. That's a positive, a move in the right direction. So there's, we've got physical, mental, and emotional right there. We're talking minutes a day.
These are incredibly tangible tips. And I hope it's things a lot of us know. And this is just the right push to be able to implement it, because it's like everyone can stop scrolling for 5 minutes, or, you know, you unfollow people that make you feel crappy and you either don't scroll at all. Or if you do, like I also can appreciate some people are very motivated and inspiring. So follow like 5 people that inspire and motivate you, and don't consume anything else. Just go to their page, check it out, see what they're doing, get inspired, if you will, by it. And then, you know, go on and live your life. But This has been an incredible conversation, and I feel like I could keep talking to you forever about all of these things. If people want to get coached by you, if people want to have you come speak at their events, or if they just want to follow you online and see what they're up to, where can everybody go and find you?
At the moment, my website is the is headquarters, so matthewadams.com. Nice and easy, two T's in Matthew, matthewadams.com. Nice and simple. Okay. I'm launching a course in the new year, January 2023. So that'll be my first course. And so that's coming online as well. So for people that are interested in getting more information and doing it themselves, that's a great way to do it as well.
Perfect. Perfect. I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes. Matt, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey and your knowledge with us.
Thanks, Megan. You're welcome, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.